Okay, we will now call to order the City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings for January 10, 2017. At the outset, I've reviewed the minutes of November 8, 2016, and have approved them for signature. Do we have any announcements before we start into this morning's agenda?
Yes, sir, Mr. Vakelja. We do have one case that's in compliance that's not reflected on the agenda. It is item number 16, case number SMG-01-1701 for 812 Magnolia Avenue. It's in compliance January 9th, 2017. And I believe that's all.
All right. Well, all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
All right. The first order of business is Trust Number 219, care of Dennis C. Riggins, trustee. Anyone here for the respondent?
Actually, if you'll continue on, Mr. Vakelja, there's a new owner, Susan Hounson Family Partnership, and she's the applicant. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Susan Hounson.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
If I'm reading correctly, the total amount of the lien at this point in time is $15,361.60. Does that sound about right?
I would not know. I didn't do the calculations on it.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back to 2010. Plumbing system hazard. No occupational license. Order of non-compliance. 7 years ago. Order imposing fine. 7 years. 6 years ago.
I purchased the house in 2014.
You purchased it in 2014?
Yes.
We have an affidavit of compliance on November 3, 2016.
Well, actually, I purchased it in January 2015.
All right. Has the respondent been sworn?
Yes, sir.
What say the respondent?
I was... In 2014, I had a mortgage on that house. I had purchased the mortgage from another entity. And the mortgage was being foreclosed on. And during that period of time, though, the taxes had not been paid. And I decided to buy up the tax certificate, and which I did, and to protect my mortgage, because the my mortgage would then allow me, I could bid up to the amount of my mortgage when I purchased the tax, when I purchased it at a tax sale. So I paid what the amount was and the taxes plus my mortgage, because it was my mortgage. And then I had, at that point, I inherited $15,000 lien. And then I got a tax, I applied for a business receipt and a license to rent. And at the time that the fine was imposed in 2010, it was relatively for small things. One was it didn't have a license to rent, and it had a minor plumbing issue, which was about, it started off as a fine of $250. And it grew because it wasn't paid over that period of years. It grew to $15,000, I believe, which is the max. And now everything has been in compliance for quite a while. And I was wanting to see if I could get the amount that is owed reduced to as 250 plus 75, I guess.
How do you get the 250 plus 75?
Well, the 250 was the original amount of the fine, and in 2010.
So, what are you proposing, if anything?
Well, I would like it, in a very generous world, I would like it reduced to $250.
When was the property brought into compliance?
I'm not sure, but it was inspected. I guess it was inspected at that date that's on there, but it was brought into compliance before that.
It was brought into compliance 2 months ago?
No, it was brought into compliance about a year ago. But at that time, when I, and this has happened on two houses I bought at the same time. It's the first time I'd ever bought houses in Daytona Beach, and I didn't realize I had to have a business license. So I had already had tenants in there, and then I got the business license.
Let's say the city.
Good morning, Mr. Vakel. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach. First of all, Mr. Vakel, this respondent also has an active case that's on the agenda today. That's case number 7. And the city's anticipation is that we would be asking for a fine in that case because the case is not in compliance. I don't know if you want to address that case now as well. As you know, the a lien review is purely discretionary, and it's a gratuitous granting by the city based upon various circumstances, but reviewed and considered by you. The city's position is that we have an open active case that's unresolved. It's been unresolved for some time. And our first suggestion would be that perhaps this respondent may want to wait until that's resolved. But if she's electing not to wait until it's resolved, the city is requesting a fine of $5,000, a reduction to $5,000 with a stipulation that the other case be resolved within the next 30 days and that the payment be made in the next 30 days.
Why are you lumping these two cases together?
Well,
219 North Street, 617 Kingston Avenue.
Well, specifically for the purpose that...
I understand the utility. I don't know that I understand the equity.
Well, specifically for the purpose and the reason I said that a lien review is a gratuitous grant for an individual that's otherwise in compliance with the city. In this situation, she's not in compliance with an active case, and so the city's position is that we'll be willing if she desires, but we're not willing to. We believe that $5,000 is a reasonable reduction. She's had this property since, she says, since January of last year. It was brought into compliance, at least not noted into compliance until November of last year. And so the position of the city is that we would be much more gratuitous once the other property is in compliance. But at this stage, the status or the position of the city is that we would like it reduced no less than $5,000.
And what do you base that $5,000 on? What's the gravity of the situation that warrants $5,000? I'm not here to revisit the fine. The fine's $15,000, I understand that. The lady's asking for some sort of relief, and what I want to know is what's the merits of the request here. No one's explained to me what the violation was to begin with. I hear the words minor, but that doesn't tell me anything. No one's explained the cause for the delay. I see in the papers that I have here, apparently, this property's been tangled up in court proceedings over the years. Am I mistaken? And I guess the county has some involvement with it as well. What's the county's involvement?
The county has the excess monies that I paid above and beyond the tax certificate, which was to protect my mortgage, would come back to me as the mortgage holder because they're excess monies above the tax certificate. And the county is saying that they want to, that they need to know that. I'm sorry, I don't think that's answering your question. The entanglement actually before, that's what your question was, that Dennis Riggins, who owned the property before, had three or four properties that had been in violation of not paying their business tax receipt, and that's what I inherited. Then at the time, and I think this answers your question.
No, that's what you acquired.
I'm sorry, that's what I acquired.
That's what you purchased. You bought your way into that.
And at the time when I purchased the properties, the embroilment with the county was that they had that he claimed he was in bankruptcy at the time that it took place. And this only came up a year after that they claimed, and now we have settled that they have agreed that he's not in bankruptcy and that I can have, and that we have made an agreement for the properties. And then he is ready to disperse the excess funds.
He's ready to disperse the excess funds that you paid to the county for the purpose of
protecting my mortgage.
Redeeming your tax certificate?
Well, no, it was a tax sale. It was done at auction.
Okay. Now, can anybody tell me what the original violation was to begin with, other than just plumbing system hazard? It was a fine of $75 per day. I can't make much out of that.
Yes, Ms. Lekeldew. Inspector John Stinson was the inspector back in 2010. He can give you his best recollection of the
sure.
the past regarding
Let's
this.
Sure.
Good morning. John Stinson, code inspector for the city. My qualifications are on file. Back in 2010, the violations on this property was the fact that it was occupied without water. There were probably squatters, but they were in there for quite some time. There was a police issue on the property for your typical activity for squatters, and that was the extent of the violations.
And so what did it take to come into violation? Getting the water turned on?
I believe those particular squatters left the house sat vacant for a little while. And I have to assume that when Mrs. Housen purchased the property, she had the water turned on.
Okay, has this property been occupied over the course of the last 5 years that this fine's been running?
To my knowledge, I have no idea.
Yes. I don't know how many years it was occupied, but it was occupied at the time that I first became aware that I was going to buy the tax certificate.
When was that?
That was about the June or July of 2015, so I knew it was occupied then.
So, I mean, have there been tenants in there ever since?
No. At the time that I bought it, there weren't any tenants.
Are there tenants in there now?
Yes, there are tenants in there now.
Okay. And the initial violation was that it was being occupied without water. I'm hearing about squatters, and I'm hearing about police issues. And this property ultimately came into compliance by doing what? Eliminating squatters, turning on the water, and
what happened is that when I got there, it was horrible. It was probably the worst thing I've ever seen. I've been in the property management business for 33 years. And there was feces and rats and furniture, and the smell was unbelievable. You couldn't even go in there without a mask.
So who rehabbed this property?
I did.
You did. How much money did you put into this property?
I have probably... This is my person who was working.
Well, I need to hear from you.
Okay, about $20,000.
Okay. So you fixed it up. So you put about 20 grand in it, you fixed it up, and now it's occupied.
Yes.
And before it was nasty.
Horrible.
Okay. All right, I'm going to reduce the fine to the sum of $1,500. To be paid within 30 days.
Thank you.
Not paid within 30 days, the original fine amount stays in place.
Thank you.
Okay, good luck to you.
Thanks.
Next case, Benny Enterprises, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yeah, they're coming. I'm going to give him a copy of scratch to the email that was received. Okay. Can you all please take turns stating your name for the record at the microphone, please?
Good morning. Lori Jordan, property manager for Benny Enterprises.
Stan Holly, architect for the client.
Were you sworn in, Charles? Okay. You want to state your name first?
Charles Bryant, redevelopment project manager, City of Daytona Beach.
Okay. Ms. Jordan and Mr. Holly, can you please raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. We're here for, as I understand it, a progress report and possible imposition of a fine. Well, let's start with the progress report. Who wants to give me a progress report?
Back at me, huh? Okay. We have submitted the plans into the TRT review. We've had about 2 weeks ago, actually, so we're waiting on response back from those. So we're moving ahead quite well,
okay.
Actually.
And somebody's handed me an email from Reed Berger, the redevelopment director.
Yeah, you go ahead.
To Mr. Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Berger is suggesting that any pending code enforcement actions be deferred for the next 2 months, after which time we'll know if the applicant is making progress to redevelop the property. Can anybody tell me what that means?
Yes, sir.
Does that mean we're happy with the way things are moving, or would
yes.
solve.
We're happy with the way things are moving, and we're requesting that you give them 2 months to come into compliance.
2 months to come into compliance?
Yes.
Well, compliance 2 months is all order compliance. To me, it seems like just about remodeling this property. As I understand compliance right now.
And that's correct, Mr. Kelly. The position of the city, and just clarifying for Mr. Bryant, is that the that two-month period is for a new progress report, and then we'll know what the completion time would be, so we'll be able to have a compliance date after the progress report. And what we're actually asking for, what staff is asking for, is that it be a progress report in the April at the April meeting. So actually 90 days, which I think is what the email says. Well, it said after last month. So, but the thought was because of the special events period and everything else that's going on, that April would be a better time to assess where they are.
As long as everyone's happy, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. All right, then I'll go ahead and schedule this matter for another progress report on April 11, 2017, at which point in time, I'm assuming, we'll be in a better position to perhaps establish a compliance date.
Yes.
Does that sound like the game plan?
Are we
yes.
removing the consideration of a fine, or... amending.
I'm continuing any consideration of imposition of a fine for the time being.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's just do this. I'm going to continue the progress report and the imposition of the fine to our April 11, 2017 meeting. And just so you people don't go thrown into a tailspin, I don't know that I'm considering a fine right now, since you seem to be keeping the city of Daytona Beach reasonably satisfied. So as long as that continues, I don't foresee that becoming an issue. So keep up the good work and good luck to you.
Thanks.
Case number two, Crystal G. Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Jerry Finley.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Jerry Finley.
You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
And Ms. Finley, what's your affiliation with Crystal Scott?
I'm her mother.
Okay. You got authority to speak for her at these proceedings?
Yes.
All right. Let's hear from the city first. As far as the imposition of the fund.
Mr. Calder, the inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the property remains in non-compliance, mm-hmm. that the violation or the city's response was complaint-driven. The case has been active since May of 2016. The respondent was making some progress, but over the last several months, he informs that progress stopped, and so the city is asking for a fine of $100 per day to a maximum of $10,000.
Have we eliminated any of these violations?
And I tender Mr. Stinson.
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. The property was being worked on. It has had quite a bit of progress has made. They were almost ready to be in compliance until the storm. As you can see, I've only got one picture up there because that's the only thing that's left, is the roof. And the respondent will explain her situation, I guess, on how they're going to get mm-hmm. that roof repaired. But the other violations have been corrected. The property is vacant. However, this roof is damaged and still needs to be fixed, which was one of the original violations.
Okay, so they had cured all the other violations, but for the roof, it was damaged to begin with, and I guess now it's worse as a result of the storm?
I believe it was re-damaged, but yes.
So right now, the roof is all that we're dealing with?
That's correct.
Okay, very good, thank you. What say Ms. Finley?
I've spent all my money trying to bring it to compliance. And then when the hurricane came, the roof, I did the, what is it, the face, everything that needed to be done. Then the hurricane came, and I've had estimates saying it's going to take, like, about $5,000 for a new roof. So I was trying to work that in my budget, and the only way I see that is probably, you know, when my income tax come or something, because, I, you know, I'm working, I have my own household, I'm just trying to take care of this.
Sorry, back up, say that again. I
have my own house, and I'm just trying to do this for my daughter because she's away in school. So she has no income, so it's only just my income.
Is this house occupied at present?
No.
And have you gotten any roof estimates?
Yes.
And it's looking like it's going to be $5,000 to repair it?
Yes, sir.
All right. So what kind of a game plan you got?
Like I said, I'm trying to wait till my income tax check come, and I was planning to use that to replace the roof or try to get a loan or something. At this time, I can't get a loan, so I'm still waiting to speak to the, what is it, SBA through FEMA to try to get a loan that way.
Where's your daughter?
She's in Atlanta, okay, in school.
So the house is unoccupied?
Yes.
Is the house going to remain unoccupied?
No, I plan to rent it once I get the roof and everything.
Okay, so you'll keep it secured and unoccupied until it's in compliance?
Yes.
All right. Okay, well, let's do this. It sounds as though you were at or nearing compliance until the hurricane came along. And, of course, that having been said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue the imposition of fine there for 60 days. All right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue this case to our March 14, 2017 docket. You're going to be on the docket for the imposition of a fine. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do in March. I'm
Mr. McKelvey,
what I'm going to do in March.
I apologize if I could just interrupt. The meeting falls in the middle of the bike week, and we have past history of moving that meeting either to a latter date or to the next continuing that meeting to April. So, so our recommendation is that anything that we set go forward towards March, that we just go ahead and set it for April.
All right. And I'm going to continue the imposition of this fine until April 11, 2017, and hopefully you can figure things out between now and then.
Okay.
And if it's all, if none of it works out, make sure you can come back here and explain to me that you moved mountains to try to make it happen.
I will.
It just wasn't in the cards.
Right.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 3, Love Tabernacle Kojic Incorporated, care of Richard Butts, trustee. Anyone for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. McKelty, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Cliff Reckonzone. Mr. Reckonzone indicates that the property remains in noncompliance. You may recall this is a situation where there was plumbing that had been installed without permits. I think they had raised an issue of believing that maybe they didn't need permits, but the inspector followed up on ensuring that permits was needed and that they remain in noncompliance and they have done no further action to comply. So the inspector is asking for a fine of $100 per day to a maximum of $15,000 plus a $250 administrative fee for the rental license. I mean, for the no BTR, I'm sorry.
Is $100 per day to a maximum of $15,000?
Yes, it's rental property.
And the $250
admin fine.
Administrative fine for failure to obtain the business tax receipt.
Yes, sir. And as I said, inspectors, Mr. Reckonzone, if you have any factual questions, I will turn to Mr. Reckonzone.
Thank you.
All right. Noting the absence of a respondent, taking into consideration the city's presentation, I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day commencing December 8, 2016 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. In addition to that, I'm going to further order that the respondent pay the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain his business tax receipt. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Case number four, Jasmine and Stephen Linderman. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Cliff Reckonzone. The inspector reports that the property remains in noncompliance, remains in disrepair, and the inspector requests that a $100 day per day fine be imposed to a maximum of $15,000.
What about the rental tax? That also, BTR.
Did they get the BTR or not?
No,
they
didn't.
Okay, and in addition to that, a $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain a business tax receipt.
Very good. Noting the absence of the respondent, I'm ordering the respondent be fined the sum of $100 per day commencing December 8, 2016, and that fine to continue to accrue until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. In addition to that, further ordering the respondent to pay the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain business tax receipt. Case number five, Joseph Janseski. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, the inspector on this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that actually this is This is number five.
Case number five. We're here for a progress report. Someone's supposed to be bringing me some plans.
Right. Okay. That's what I didn't have. Stinson is the inspector on here, and I will tender to Mrs. Stinson to address the issue regarding the progress report and the plans.
Good morning. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. Mr. Jen, the property owner dropped off the copy of the plans to permits and licensing on December 13th. Since then, the permit for the renovations has been approved. It has not yet been issued. The property owner is up in New York dealing with some personal matters, and he states that he can have his property hopefully in compliance by April. By April. I told him when he gets back into town to contact me so we can monitor the progress. However, he is currently in noncompliance. Still, the property is secured. There's no other issues going on there right now.
Well, I've got a notation that says compliance date 2-8-17.
Yes, I just saw that. That was ours. I'm just giving you what he thought his time frame was going to be.
All right. So what does the city think about a realistic compliance date, given the plans and the fact that the permits are available, albeit not issued?
The city has no problem giving
him a reasonable time.
We have no problem giving him until April.
All right. Then I'll go ahead and, taking into consideration the progress report and the progress made to date and the city's recommendation, I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by April 11, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Do you want to do the meeting day or the cutoff day?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, you know what? I'll tell you what. Mr. Janczewski's not here. I don't want to do that. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by May 3. We've been satisfied with Mr. Janczewski's efforts, haven't we?
Thus far, yes. The property is secured. In the beginning, it was an issue with some squatters there, but they have been removed. The property is secured and boarded up. So right now, we're okay.
You know, I'm still uncomfortable doing this without him being here. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to continue this matter for our next meeting for the purpose of establishing a compliance date to give Mr. Janczewski an opportunity to be heard on that. I don't mind taking a stab at it, but I'm uncomfortable just putting it out there without knowing a little bit more about the status about his program. All right, so we'll continue this to the next meeting for the purpose of establishing a compliance date. Okay, does he already have a compliance date of February 8th?
Yes, sir.
That was the original order, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to just amend? Yeah, right. The original order of compliance gave him until
February 8th. Mr. City Attorney, do you have any recommendations or suggestions here? Compliance date on February 8th. No, we're not going to make that. Apparently, the man has been putting forth some effort.
Yes, Mr. Catcher, my suggestion would be that we amend for just a progress report for next month, and from that we can make the determination on the compliance date from that report.
What about the existing compliance date?
That we amend and remove that existing compliance date.
And I'm going to go ahead and cancel or vacate the current compliance date of February 8, 2017, and we will return Mr. Janczewski to our February 14, 2017 meeting for the purpose of establishing a new compliance date. Case number 6, Daisy Smalls Johnson and George Smalls Jr. and Vincent E. Smalls.
Good morning, Your Honor. How you doing?
Okay.
That's good.
Can you state your name, please?
George Small, Jr.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Smalls, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city first.
Ms. Vickelger, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the property remains non-compliant, and I will tender Mr. Stinson forward the factual information.
Okay. Good morning again, John Stinson, code inspector with the city. Qualifications are on file. This case started in May of last year as a actual tenant complaint. Since then, there has been work done. There's been multiple property inspections. The last inspection, I was advised that the person was storing their property into this in his residence. Later found out that
the person, meaning whom? I'm sorry.
Meaning the current occupant of the property. I was advised that they were just storing the material there. Come to find out that this individual was actually living there. Mr. Smalls advised me this morning that he is now in the process of evicting this occupant. At this point, the city was asking for $50 a day for the uncorrected violations to be capped at $15,000, being that it's a rental property. The respondent will give you whatever his situation is at this time.
Okay. What say Mr. Smalls?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm in the process of going to court about the person. He's not supposed to be staying there, but he...
Did you already get rid of one tenant?
No.
This thing was stalled to begin with because we had tenant issues.
No. Nobody
All right. So who's the person who's occupying the property now?
As brother-in-law. He's not.
Sorry, who?
My as brother-in-law.
Ex-brother-in-law.
Yes.
Okay.
He wasn't supposed to have been staying there, but I'm getting information that he's been staying there. So I went and filed went to court to get him evicted and get all this stuff out so I could come within compliance of the city.
Okay. Forgive me, but haven't you already told me quite a few times already that you were going to be in compliance by a certain date? When did the ex-brother-in-law move in?
He's never really supposed to have been moved in. He needed a place to put some his furniture. That's what he told me. But I specifically told him that he can't stay there until we come into compliance with the city. And to find out, he's been staying there. That's why I got to. I'm going to court now to get all this stuff out so I can come with in compliance with the city.
Okay. Date of first notification of violation, May 3, 2016. First hearing was July 12, 2016. Order of noncompliance. You were going to bring it into compliance. You're ordered to appear. Amended order of noncompliance. Supposed to give us a progress report in September in determination of compliance state. When did the ex-brother-in-law move in?
I'm not sure, Your Honor.
Is this? Are you like keeping an eye on this place?
Yes, I am.
Where are you with?
About 5 minutes away from the place.
Okay. All right. I mean, you're making an awful lot of promises and representations to me and the city about things that are going to be done. We've given you lots of time to get everything done.
Yes.
Now I've got a phantom mystery ex-brother-in-law, and I don't even understand what kind of a relation that is to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, now he's in the house, and he's the holdup now.
Yeah. Well, he's getting evicted from the house.
I know he's getting evicted from the house.
Yeah.
Then we have another order of noncompliance. Giving you to October 5th. An amended order of noncompliance giving you until December 7th. So tell me, when are you going to be in compliance now?
Hopefully next month, Your Honor.
Well, let me put it this way. You're going to be in compliance next month or a fine's going to start running.
Okay. I understand.
Don't jump at that so quickly.
Okay.
You need to get this taken care of.
I will.
Because what's going to happen is that fine's going to go into effect.
I know.
And at $50 a day, you're going to have a running tab until it maxes out at $15,000, and you're not going to realize it until somebody goes to sell the property. Then all of a sudden, it's going to be, oh, gosh, we've got a $15,000 lien. That just hardly doesn't seem fair. All right. In any event, I'm allowing the respondent until February 8, 2017 to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $50 per day will commence automatically and will continue to accrue each day thereafter until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. I am further ordering the respondent to pay the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain the business tax receipt within 30 days.
Okay, Your Honor.
All right, does that take care of everything we need to do here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't mean to be harsh here.
I understand. Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it.
I'm glad you're gracious as far as letting your in-laws move in.
Yes,
we've got to take care of business here.
I know.
Or else there's going to be repercussions, and they're going to sneak up on you.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Have a blessed
day. Case number 7, Susan Hansom Family Limited Partnership.
And the councilman was previously sworn, so I'll go ahead, sir, if you could state your name and
Peter Ancona.
Step up to the microphone, please.
Peter Ancona.
You raise your hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
I'm Mr. Calder, the inspector on this case is John Stinson. I alluded to this case a little earlier in our meeting. This is before you for imposition of a fine. It was continued from an order for or consideration of imposition from the November 8th to 2016 meeting. The inspector reports that...
Can you refresh my recollection? Why was it continued from the November meeting?
I'm not sure. I will have to look to Mr. Stinson and have him remind us. What I do know is that we had a period of this was a tenant complaint, and there was a tenant in there for a while, and ultimately that tenant left. I don't know if that was the timing. I don't recall. But since then, the inspector reports that the handyman or contractor he defines him as a handyman has not been very cooperative during inspections as recent as the January 4th inspection. There's quite a bit of work that still needs to be done. Permit corrections were submitted on 12/27 of 16, and the position of the city is that we believe that there's just been a lack of good faith effort on bringing this into compliance, and we're asking for a fine of $150 per day, capped at $15,000. And I will tender.
Can you tell me what, if anything, has been brought into compliance on this laundry list of violations?
Yes, I'll tender Mr. Stinson to advise you of those.
Because it looks as though, from my previous notes, some of these things might have been resolved, but I'll wait to hear from Mr. Stinson.
Morning again. John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. Qualifications are on file. As of date, the violations that have been corrected are the damaged or missing screens, the dilapidated handrails, the inoperable receptacles, the missing smoke detectors. We still have work that needs to be done to the exterior door in the rear. He's still installing interior doors for closets. We still have plumbing fixtures that still need to be repaired. I don't believe the stairs are complete just yet, so we still need to get that. And they still need a reinspection for their rental licensing, and the business tax receipt has been obtained.
Business tax receipt has been obtained?
It has been obtained.
Okay. And what have these respondents done to you to irk you to the point of $150 a day?
Well, this case began.
Being so candid.
This case began in June. Like Mr. Jackson said, it's been a difficult going dealing with the handyman on the property. Like you said, we've had numerous special magistrate hearings. We've also had civil hearings dealing with the tenant as well.
What now?
There were also civil hearings dealing with the landlord-tenant issues as well.
Okay.
It's just been a difficult time getting progress.
Very good. All right, what say Ms. Onsum?
Hello. This house was also purchased the way the other one was, with a buying a tax receipt at by tax auction. I'm sorry, a tax auction. This house. When
did you acquire title?
December. Well, actually January, but the auction was in December 2014.
So you've had title all along.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
And we had a tenant. The house, we inherited a tenant. The tenant came with the house. It was livable. But there were things that needed to be done, including a new roof, including many other things. When that tenant left, we put on a new roof, and we brought the house up to what we considered to be a rentable standard. As I said, I've been in this business 33 years. And we got a tenant. And everything was going along very well until June of 2016, when the tenant did not pay her rent, and I started an eviction. And she then called the city for code enforcement compliance. And the things that she called about were things, most of the things she called about were things that she had created. She had four children under 10 living there, and they had ripped off the interior brand new closet doors, and they had ripped off the they had driven over the grass, and the grass didn't work. They'd knocked over the fence. They had taken the screens. The windows and the screens were brand new, and they'd taken the screens off, and then there was a complaint that these things were in violation. So the code enforcement came out, and we tried to fix these things, and the tenant wouldn't let us in. And occasionally she did let us in, but half the time she didn't. And so it got to the point that she countersued me. When in the eviction, she countersued me for these dilapidated occurrences in the house that she was in. And she countersued me, and I've been to court back and forth with that. She has now gone. She left in September. At the time that she made the first complaint, we realized that there were things that need to be done. We applied for at that time, as I told you before, until she made the complaint, I didn't know that we needed a business license. In Edgewater, Florida, where most of my rental houses are, we don't need one. And it didn't occur to me that we needed one, but then I realized we did. And August the 25th, there was she had already countersued me, and we needed to get some things done. So we got a contractor, John Gaffney, but he's also a roofer, and so he was very, very slow in getting down to the court because he's actually from the New Smyrna area, and he was overwhelmed with roofing jobs. On August 25th, that was before the hurricane. But so we started work on it, and during that period, the tenant left at the end of her tenancy, and so we started work in earnest.
Did the tenant leave?
At the end of September, and we started work in earnest. We were able to get in there. We had the permit. Upon working on it for some time, we realized that the permit had neglected to say one of the items that was on the code compliance to do. And so we had to get John Gaffney down there, and John Stinson put a stop work order on us. So we had to wait another 4 weeks to get John Gaffney down to do the amended permit, which he did. And so I think he did it just a couple weeks ago. But since then, everything on this list has been done. It's all been done. The only thing that hasn't been done is the finishing up of an exterior door that has to be inspected by the building department before it can be completely mudded in or finished, because they have to see that it was hung correctly. So we're waiting for it. We called on Friday for the building department to come down and inspect that door so we can finish off that door. But as soon as that door is hung. But as soon as that door is completed with all its molding, etc., then we will have completed everything structural. Then we can go and get our building permit requirements satisfied. Then we can go and get the final inspections for the code and for the rental license, which we need to get. But we need to get the building. We need to get John Gaffney and the building department first to see that all these things were done correctly. Mm-hmm. And we called in for this inspection last Friday. But obviously, this is just Tuesday. So we haven't been able to get that done yet. But as soon as the building inspector comes over, looks at that door, looks at all the other things that have been completed, then we can call in code enforcement, and then they can. They have other issues too, such as, I don't know, openings in part of the that would allow rodents in, or things that go above and beyond the building part, and all the things that need to be done for the code inspector, for the rental license, have also been done. They've all been done.
When was the last time Mr. Stinson was out there to look at the property?
The last inspection on this property was on 1/4/17.
5 days ago? 6 days ago?
Yes, sir.
You've heard our inspectors say there are a number of items yet to be repaired. Are you, just a second, I can see you're itching to talk. I'll give you a chance. Are you telling me those things have all been taken care of?
Yes, they've all been taken care of. Except
you're ready for inspection.
Yes, we've called for the
door that you keep talking about.
Yes, we've called the building department for the building inspection, which is separate from this kind of inspection. But even the things that were pointed out in the January 4th inspection, they've all been taken care of. They were minor things. Just like blocking up holes and making sure that...
So you're telling me anything left to be done is absolutely minimal?
I don't think there's anything left to be... Well, except for the door.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's let this gentleman talk before he has an aneurysm.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I appreciate you. This whole thing is really out of control. These pictures are all months and months old. Months and months old.
Everything can tell from looking at this, there's a lot of friction going on out there.
There has been. And
I'm not really interested in this, okay?
Because I understand that.
I'm going to assume you all are going to act like adults, and I'm talking about both sides of the table here. Now, what I want to know is what's left to be done to bring this into compliance.
On this original complaint, sir, everything was done.
Okay.
Everything was done on this original complaint.
Added that you've been asked to fix.
And then they've added stuff. They came over. They weren't invited. They invited themselves over on the 4th. I did not call them and ask them for an inspection, so it wasn't an inspection. They came over anyways with an entourage. They included Mr. Garcia, Mr. Stetson, another code enforcement officer, and a police officer. When I was told that Mr. Garcia only was coming to see Ms. Hounson and myself. Okay? So this is what they've been pulling, and I understand it's a personal thing, so we're not going to go into it. But everything was done. They came into the house, and they found more things that they didn't like. They also implied that we needed to repaint the house when there's no sign that the house needs to be repainted. They also wanted us to put handrails on a side porch that doesn't meet the requirements of the IPMC in need of a handrail or guards. So they've been doing things. They asked us to replace a fence, which doesn't belong to us. It's clearly it doesn't belong to us, yet they're bringing this stuff up. So we're trying to comply. We replaced the door that we didn't need
okay.
to replace.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to continue the imposition of the fine for our February 14 meeting. Okay?
Thank you.
I'm doing that for two reasons. Number one, you tell me it's done. So I'm assuming there's little, if anything, left to be done.
Correct.
Number two, if on February 14 I hear it's not done, you will be fined. I'm guaranteeing you that. So, if come February 14 we don't have an order of compliance in this thing, then you make sure you come down here ready to bring whatever proof you want to demonstrate to me that whatever they're saying is wrong or mistaken or it's not a violation or it's already taken care of. So then rather than just hearing a bunch of backbiting back and forth, I'm putting both sides on notice.
Thank you.
If I don't have an order of compliance in this file before the February 14 meeting, then be here and somebody's going to lose. If it turns out I'm convinced and you've done everything you were asked to do, then I will find you in compliance myself. If it turns out that there's anything that's left undone and I'm satisfied it was part of this violation, you will be fined. Are we
Thank
clear?
You. Yes, we are.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to ask you all to mend fences, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya.
Thank you.
But it'd be nice if we could get a little goodwill going here, because that might smooth things out, but maybe that's too much to hope for. Either way, there's either going to be an order of compliance in this file by February 14th, or we're going to have a full-blown hearing on whatever's left to be done.
Yes, sir.
All right, good luck to you. And
thank
don't
you.
Forget to call for those inspections. Case number 8, Kimberly E. Telfair. Anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Kimberly E. Telfair.
Arthur Lee Henson, Jr.
Arthur?
Yes.
I'm sorry, can you say your name one more time?
Arthur Lee Henson, Jr.
Can you raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Well, Ms. Vakalja, the inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that nothing's been done. There's been no effort to comply. This arose as a tenant complaint. He is asking that a fine, this case started back in September of 2016. Mrs. Stinson is asking for a fine of $250 per day be imposed to a maximum of $15,000. And I tender Mr. Stinson for any additional factual information regarding the case.
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. My qualifications are on file. As Mr. Jackson said, this case started as a tenant complaint of the conditions. There's actually two structures on this property, a front and a rear. When the case began, both structures were occupied. The rear structure was the worst of the two. Multiple violations on the interior. The interior was just in very bad condition. You had active hot water leaks. And I say hot water leaks because the pipe on the outside was literally spewing hot steaming water. All of the other violations still exist. The outside storage. There were at least four people living in the rear unit. Damaged electrical fixtures, all these listed violations. My last inspection was performed the day before yesterday, and on the exterior, all of those violations still existed.
On the exterior?
Yes, sir.
So you didn't get inside?
I did not gain entry. And
as far
like
as the exterior violations are concerned, you have not seen any work or
I have
work or what?
Little to none.
Okay. All right. What's say Ms. Telfair?
I didn't actually rent this property out. I was living in the property and left. My sister came in and moved in for her safety from her husband, which he moved in as well. And then a tenant of, they're not really a tenant at all. My sister just moved there just to get away from them until she can get back on her feet. I was trying to bring the building up to code, but due to the tenants that are actively living in there now, can't even get in because of police officers called, activity, negative activity and narcotic activity being done at the back of the establishment as well. Been trying to get it up to code, but like I said, when I want to enter in the home, it's always a conflict with the people that are living in there. So I'm trying to get them out, to get them evicted, serving papers to them definitely tomorrow through the sheriff to get them out so that I can make arrangements and repair my property.
Well, what repairs have been made since September 16th?
None, because we can't get in to do the property because of the tenants that's there.
And the tenants plumbing, that's there are family of yours?
They are my sister's husband and my sister's husband and her and a friend of my boyfriend's.
Your sister moved in there to get away from her husband.
Yes.
And now the husband's there.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the other gentleman is a friend of my boyfriend's cousin, and he was supposed to move in there to make arrangements. And it went sour. And code enforcement and the police department have been there several times with activity going on in the home, narcotics situation going on, and just disarray. So I'm trying to get, I'm getting them out of there.
Ma'am, you're the property owner, so yeah. Tell me what you're doing. How are you cracking the whip here to get something done?
We have went down to the city hall to get paperwork done. We give them a 3-day notice of eviction. Every time I went there to do work, but every time I went there, matter of fact, he's sitting right back there. The other guy's not here right now. Mm-hmm. But every time I went there to do the work, they called a police officer about us coming on the property. The officer said we could come on the property. But every time I go to do work over there to go to move and stuff, they're like, this is mine. You can't move this, you can't move that. Mm-hmm. Every time we go to clean up, it's the same thing. We can't get in the property to do nothing.
Why don't we tell me how we fix this? What do we need to do?
Like you said, we're going tomorrow and finish the process of evicting them out of there. I don't know why they're going to move.
Because they haven't paid.
He was a friend of mine and her sister. But they don't want to pay nothing, but they want to live there. They don't want to move. Okay. I don't know why.
I've heard tell of two structures here. Do we have two structures?
Oh, the first structure is no one living in it.
There's no one living in the first structure?
No one living in the first structure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's
So when we gave her one, she went on ahead and moved.
Okay.
But they don't want to move. They just want to squat.
All right, so you're telling me you've got a tenant in there you've got to get rid of, and the presence of the tenant is keeping you from being able to come into compliance.
Yes.
And this situation's been going on since September of last year?
No, it still haven't started then. It started November. They called. What it was, they were there. It was her sister and her husband got in an argument. And someone called a police officer. When they came there, they went to saying that they seen the place. They're talking about this is a rental place. We did not give them no rental lease or nothing. We were just looking out for family, for somewhere to stay until she got on the feet to move. The same thing I was doing with my friend. Because he was getting evicted out where he was staying in the trailer park. So we just trying to look out being friends and family, looking out for them somewhere to stay until they got on their feet to move. Yeah. But they tell us every month they're moving, but they don't move. They don't want to move.
All right. Now, you're aware that in November of 2016, an order of noncompliance was entered requiring the property be in compliance by December 7th?
Yes.
Okay. And you're telling me in November, or at least since November, you've gone in there trying to do work, but you run into tenant problems.
Yes.
Okay, does the city have anything else they want to say to shed any light on this mess?
Mr. Vakelja, at this moment the city has nothing else. However, the tenant is present and they want it to be heard if they can.
The tenant. And who is this tenant? Well, hang on one second.
He have no lease.
This is a friend of yours that you allowed on
to come
property.
Live with us. Mm-hmm. To live there. Because I was living there first. Because
right.
I was remodeling. And he came to live with us because he was moving out. He have nowhere else to go because the place he was living at, they were pulling him out.
Why don't you two have a seat? Let's hear what the tenant has to say. Okay, Mr. Jackson, did somebody, anyone else want to be heard here?
Yes, sir.
And he can come forward and be sworn and give his name.
Morning.
Good morning.
State your name, please.
My name is Matthew Jones.
Matthew Jones?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Your Honor. About a lot of the stuff that's been going on at this property, I did move in there.
When?
I moved in there in November of last year. Not this past year, but the year before that.
Okay, folks, do me a favor. Just let me hear from him, and then I'll call you right back up. And you can
okay, last year we made 2016. I moved in there in 2015 because I've been there over a year now. The electric was moved into my name at that property. They, at first, did not have a rental lease. She was charging us $300 a month. Her sister moved in after I did with her husband when they moved in. We had been paying money, and we had also let her know about the damages on the property. The plumbing was messed up. There was water leaking from the bathroom toilet in the picture that was actually leaking into the other room where the mold is. When he left, I moved into the big room. Now, the only reason we had called the code enforcement is because too much stuff was going on and nothing was being done about it. She knew about the problems, would not do it. The hot water heater had been out. I had to fix that myself. The plumbing was messed up. I fixed that myself because none of it was getting done. A lot of the stuff with them coming over to fix anything, the officer told them before they needed to give us a 24-hour notice before they come to that property to do anything, to come inside or anything else, just because of what's been going on around there. They've showed up a couple times at the house without calling, without giving a head notice. She was actually just there a couple days ago, pounding on my window for my bedroom to give a 3-day notice, which actually I got two of the 3-day notices that she gave us where she wrote the wrong dates on them. They've been keeping this up for a while. You know, we've let them know there's problems that need to be taken care of. The electrical receptacles have been messed up. And just so much stuff going on, and we try to let them know, hey, this needs to be fixed. I was at a job site one day. Both of them, because they shut the water off on us. The water is in her name. And I talked to the Florida Bar, the free law firm that they give you for that. Got the information from them. Got the paperwork from them. I printed the paperwork out. There was an officer present when I went to hand her the paperwork, letting her know that it was illegal for her to shut the water off. She would not accept the paperwork at all. And an officer was there, and it was caught on camera, where I tried to give her the legal paperwork, you know, to go about the legal way. She would not accept it. So we've actually had to deal with the water company. They were going to turn it off, but luckily the gentleman that was there has kept it on for us because we are there. I'm disabled. The other tenant gets disability also. She knows about a lot of the stuff going on, but they don't want to fix a thing. They want to keep on bugging us for money, this, and this, keep on wanting money. But when they had the money to fix the problems that were originally there, nothing happened at all. And, I mean, it's been going back and forth. The job I was at, they actually showed up to my job and went into the backyard where I was at yelling at me about it because I sent her a text message just to let her know about the water problem. They decided to come to my job site, which they had no business at, yelling at me about, you know, why don't I move out? Why don't I do this? And I told them, I was like, if you want me out, do it the legal way or pay for me to move somewhere else since you guys keep on having these problems and don't want to fix the thing. And, I mean, the other tenant, they want to say about the cops and stuff. The cops have been there because of the arguments that have been there. They had already told us if they show up without calling ahead of time, to call the officers and let the officers come out there so that way they can deal with the problem. Rather than having, you know, an argument or a fight break out in the middle, you know, of the road or middle of the street. So, I mean, I've already gotten into it with him before about it. The officers were called, the actual other tenant called the officers because he barged his way in. Me and him, you know, were bumping heads together, and he called the officer just because of that reason. So that's why the officers advise them that if they keep on coming on the property, to call them so that way it can go about the right way. But as far as calling to do anything with the house, they haven't been there to try to fix the house. They come to get the mail, and that's it. That's what the officer advised. The officer said, if you want to come to that property, you need to call ahead of time, and you need to go about their schedule. Not with what you want to do, but by their schedule, so that way there can be an arrangement to try to do some of the work to the property.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Kelch, I do have some correspondence between our inspector and Officer Burns that I'd like to present.
Thank you.
All right. How long should it take to bring these matters into compliance? I have forgotten however much time we've given them before.
Mr. Kelly, this is before you for imposition of a fine, but if the request is for the amount of time, I'd have to look to Mr. Stinson. How much time should it take?
To correct all of these violations?
Starting today.
No more than 60 days.
Doing everything diligently starting today?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, does anybody have any suggestions that doesn't involve police interaction here? And I say that with all the respect in the world for police. I'm trying to keep them from having to go out there another 7 times. So, I mean, I can find these people and send them all on their way. I don't know what that's going to accomplish. I can try to figure out how to get the property brought into compliance, which is her responsibility and his right. I don't know if anyone's interested in that anymore. So before I just do something half-hearted, does anybody have any suggestions as to how we make some progress here before something bad happens? And let me hasten to add, I'm not asking the city to back off on anything that it's requesting. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not satisfied that the property owner has done much, if anything. So don't take that as a signal from me that I'm expecting the city to roll over for any reason. I'm just wondering what, if any, solutions there might be that I have, but I'm not able to think of.
Yes, Ms. Wachowski, we have a suggestion. Staff's suggestion is that we continue the imposition of a fine for 60 days and let's not do it for 60 days, continue for 30 days with a...
I don't like that 60 days.
With
I'm inclined to make it about 5, but whatever. We'll talk in increments of 30 for the time being.
Yeah. And we can assess in those next 30 days whether or not they do anything at all to in good faith and sincerely move towards compliance.
Well, that's about as Solomon-esque as I think you can get. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue the imposition of the fine in this matter to our February 14, 2017 meeting. Okay. I'm going to require that the property owner give the tenant, in addition to whatever notice the police require, I too am requiring the property owner to give the tenant at least 24 hours notice before they come onto the property to do anything in the way of work related to these violations. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 30 days. I don't know if you're going to evict your tenant. I don't know if the two of you are going to hold hands and start doing some work on this property. I don't know. But come February 14th, if we're in the same position here, my response is, and you may think it's unfair, but you're the ones that are going to get hammered because you're the property owner and the property is your responsibility. And while we are sometimes sympathetic to problems with tenants, and I'm not saying or suggesting this is a problem tenant, I'm not making that call. But my point is, problems with tenants are a property owner's responsibility, not the city's. So the property owner needs to find a way to fix this, whether that means evicting your tenant, whether that means working with your tenant. I don't know what to tell you, and I can't tell you. That's your responsibility. But what I will tell you is come February 14th, if we've made no progress and we're no further than we are right now, there will be a fine. Okay? If there is progress on whatever front it may be, I'll take it into consideration. But if what I'm looking at 1 month from now is the same status quo that we're wrestling with right now, then you, as the property owner, are going to be held responsible. All right, good luck to you. Case number 9, Hannah S. West Estate. Anyone here for the response?
Okay. Ms. Wachowski, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspectors, John Stinson, Mr. Stinson, reports that nothing's been done. The respondent has been waiting for a buyer.
The respondent is what now?
Been waiting for a buyer. They indicated an intent to want to sell. And they've been storing and items on a property and dumping debris on a property. The inspector's requesting a fine of $250 per day be imposed to a maximum of $15,000.
I'm sorry, to a maximum of what?
$15,000. And although it indicates a failure to obtain a business tax receipt, the inspector reports that the property is currently vacant and he doesn't know of any intent whether or not they intend to continue renting.
All right, noting the absence of the respondent. And the testimony or representation that little, if anything, has been done since June of 2016, I'm finding the respondent the sum of $250 per day commencing December 8, 2016. And continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. And as I understand it, you're not looking for the administrative fee right now.
That's correct.
Very good. All right, case number 10, John Clark. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelcher, this property is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that there's been no contact from the respondent and the property remains in noncompliance, and he is asking that you give the next cutoff for them to come into compliance.
Okay. Noting the absence of the respondent, taking into consideration the presentation by the city, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. And did you say next cutoff?
Yes, sir.
In order the respondent to come into compliance by February 8, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Case number 11, Ingersoll Financial LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Ms. Fakelter, this property is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. He informs me that the property is in noncompliance. He did just inform me that he had a conversation with an attorney regarding the property, so I don't know if that would change anything. I will look to him, but his initial request is for next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance, and I would ask Mr. Fitzgerald, is there anything that would change concerning? That's okay, so that's the request. Noncompliance, next cutoff to come into compliance.
All right. Noting the absence of the respondent based upon the presentation by the city, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to commit compliance by February 8, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 12, Vescovi Trust. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yeah. Sir, he had to go back to the car to get his envelope for the trustee for the offset.
No problem. We'll skip over that. We'll come back to it in a second. Case number 13, Charles L. and Bertha J. Hogan. Morning. Would you please state your names?
Bertha Hogan. Charlize Burson.
Charlize?
Yes, Burson. C-H-A-R-L-I-S.
B-U-R-S-O-N?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, do we agree the property is in non-compliance as stated in the notice of violation? We agree that we had off-street parking, outside storage, a junk vehicle, damaged fencing, failure to obtain a business tax receipt, or failure to obtain a residential license and inspection. Do we agree any of those conditions existed?
It's all been taken
care of. It's all been taken care of.
Except for the wind in the back.
And the fence. When my grandmother purchased a home for me and my children, the gate has always been the same. She purchased it just like that. Okay. We corrected everything. See, look, that was during the storm. So we corrected everything besides the window, which I got an estimate of $1,250 because it was a storm window. I had a branch to go through it earlier, 16. I had a branch to go through it, and that was $350 to get that branch out and get it boarded up. But he said I had to fix it, which I am. I just got a job, and he said we have to get a new gate.
All right, hang on one second. All right, I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
Mr. Vakelja, the inspector reports that they are working on it just as they say, and he expects that they'll be in compliance by next cutoff.
The city seems to think you ought to be able to finish it up by February 8th of 2017. What do you think?
I think I need more time than that because I need a whole new gate for the back, he said, and I need a whole new window frame. When I went to get my window estimated, it was $1,250 due to I have a double pane window, and he had to reframe the whole thing. I'm just really getting back on my feet, and I just need more time than next month.
Let's say the city.
Inspector says that the he's okay with that. There's no additional complaints. It's inspect observed, and he's fine with the additional time. So an additional month would be fine.
All right. Then I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by March 8, 2017. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now, if you get jammed up and you're not able to get it done by then, keep your inspector informed as to what's going on. Because if you're running out of time or about to run out of time, he'll be your best friend if you need additional time.
Yes, sir.
We're real pleasant people to work with as long as people communicate with us. It's when folks disappear on us that we get grumpy. Okay.
Ms. McKelty, the inspector, the staff asked if we could move that to April.
Wow.
Oh, thank you.
And here I thought Christmas was in December.
I know, that's right. Thank you.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and revise that order for our response until April 5 of 2017 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Can't ask for more than that, can you?
Thank you. God bless you guys.
Good luck to you. Case number 14, Libby Investment Group, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Morning. You would please state your name.
My name is Tim Tharps.
Tim what now?
Tharps. T-H-A-R-B-S.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you raise your right hand, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
And, sir, what is your affiliation with Libby Investment Group, LLC?
Well, I came into this property and I filed motions for this property as far as purchasing it. And I started living there, and I've been fixing on it. And after the hurricane,
Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, so do you own this property?
I'm going to court on this property to obtain the title. That date will be like, I think it would be. It would be on 12/27/16, something like that. You can take a look at the paper. Maybe I'm.
Okay. Well, this tells me you brought a lawsuit against Wells Fargo Bank.
Right.
And it also tells me your lawsuit's about to be dismissed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. No, I don't want to say something wrong here, but it stands to be dismissed in about 60 days if there's no activity. Complaint to quiet title.
If they don't get in touch with them in 60 days, or they have some kind of.
Give all this to the city attorney and ask him.
Okay.
Mr. McCouch, I have it.
Okay. So are we satisfied we've got a responsible party here?
No, I'm not. Mr. McCouch.
Excuse me?
What it appears we have, Mr. McCouch, is individuals who appear to possibly have squatted on property and now seeking through a quiet title to acquire the property. I think there has been at least one dismissal on the action they filed, and they're filing it, if I believe. I don't know, but it's a pending action. They filed it. I have a copy of the pleading. But that's the best information I have. There are neighbors in the audience that are interested. I don't know if they want to testify, but there are people who have come with the desire to see the outcome of how we deal with this.
Well,
I assume at best as witnesses, but...
Let me try and go the simple route here. Is title still in Libby Investment Group, LLC?
Based on the research of my paralegal, the answer is yes.
Okay. Mr. Tharbs, a manager or a member of the limited liability company known as Libby Investment Group?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay. So you have no authority to speak on behalf of that corporate entity?
Well, as the property goes, I filed a quiet title, and I'm entitled to speak on the property as far as the owner, me taking responsibility of the owner and paying taxes.
Title suit against a mortgage holder, aren't you?
Well, I'm the owner.
Well, that's at Wells Fargo.
Well, that's the owner. The lady walked away from the property and left it abandoned.
So Wells Fargo is the mortgage holder and somehow taken possession of the property?
I would say so.
And you're occupying the property?
Yes, sir.
Are you occupying it pursuant to a lease?
No, sir.
How is it you're occupying? Okay, you have no affiliation with Libby Investment Group, LLC.
No,
sir. You don't have a lease.
No.
So forgive me for being abrupt, but what right do you have to be there?
Squatter and...
Self-proclaimed squatter?
No, well, I filed my papers on it as far as in court, and on this court date, we got to go to court and, before 60 days. I'm going to file for an... I'm going to file for a lost title.
Okay. All right, well, I understand the process you're pursuing, but it seems to me as though right now, with all due respect, you don't really have any standing to speak on behalf of this respondent.
Well,
now, all that having been said, I'm going to hear from you in a second.
Okay, yes, sir.
I'm going to let him step up because I need to talk to him. Okay, Mr. Jackson, you have somebody to tell me that this property is in non-compliance?
Yes, sir. Cliff Reckinson is the inspector, and as the item said, I've indicated, he can answer any factual questions, but he indicates the property is in non-compliance, and he is asking for the next call for the property to come into compliance.
All right. Well, let me just back up and observe a few formalities. Let me speak to Mr. Rackenson.
Good morning, Mr. DeKelter. My name is Cliff Rackenson. I'm the inspector. My credentials are on file.
Okay. And as a city inspector, did you inspect 404 Revilo Boulevard?
Yes, sir.
And determine that the property was in non-compliance?
Correct, sir.
And you, I suspect, are the person that would have initiated notification to the respondent to come into compliance?
Yes, sir.
And the respondent, as I see it, is Libby Investment Group, LLC?
Yes, sir.
And since having first notified that respondent to come into compliance, have they come into compliance?
No, sir.
So it's your sworn testimony here today that they are still in non-compliance?
Correct.
Thank you. That's all I need. All right, I'm finding the respondent to be in non-compliance. Now, the next question is going to be, is how much time will it take to come into compliance? Say the city.
The repairs to the roof could be done within the next 30 days. The BT and the RTL are because it's a living group, and the people inside the building are not affiliated to the property owner. So that has to be settled for that to either be in compliance. Either he has to take ownership or Libby Group has to get the BT and the RTL for the property to have somebody else in the property other than them. And the city took care of the lawn maintenance on 1110.
All right. And I guess, so I'm hearing that you think it ought to be brought into compliance by February 8th?
Correct.
Okay. All right, Mr. Tharg, just out of curiosity, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful,
I understand.
I'm having a little trouble understanding what standing you have to speak on behalf of this property. I understand the plan that you've brought, and you may very well prevail, for all I know. But how much time do you think it would take to bring this property into compliance?
Maybe, for the side of that wall, maybe, I'll say 90 days. I'm just roughly.
Good. All right. Very good. All right. I'm going to. I've already found the respondent in non-compliance.
Already did a lot, extensive a lot of work to that property already.
I don't want to lose track of this property, so here's what I'm going to do.
Can I say something? Yeah. If you give me 90 days, you will see a change in the property.
Sir, I mean you no disrespect, but you don't have any standing to be asking for anything.
I'm just putting that on the table.
I'm being as polite as I can.
Yes, sir.
I understand the claim that you're making,
mm-hmm.
and you may very well end up being a property owner for all I know. But right now, I'm not.
I understand.
And quite frankly, the only thing I'm wrestling with here is I don't want my hands taken off this property until I know what's going to come of it.
Okay.
So, Mr. Attorney, I'm kind of inclined to just continue. I don't even want to just continue it for a progress meeting.
Here's a pending foreclosure with this is there was a bankruptcy and the bankruptcy was recently dismissed, so I think now the foreclosure proceedings can continue, but nothing is scheduled.
Well, I need to back up and go according to the numbers. All right. I've already found the property in noncompliance. I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by February 8, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now, all I can say to you is that if you're the one who's going to try to bring it into compliance and you think you're going to need more time and you can show a good faith effort to try to bring it into compliance, notwithstanding your standing, and you acquire some sort of standing and you're in need of more time and you've done all those things, then I'll hear you.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. But that's about as much as I can say.
Yes,
sir. You're kind of in a legal limbo.
I know.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
William Dennison Sr. and Minglers Incorporated. Tony, is this expected to take a while?
I don't expect it to.
All right. I mean, if you want me to put you at the end, I'll give you all the time in the world.
No, I don't. I mean, yeah, I hadn't had a conversation with...
very good. Let's go. I just didn't want people sitting around unnecessarily.
I think you forced right. to acknowledge that they exist. That's the only issue today.
Right, but can we just roll it forward? I mean, a lot of this stuff is permitting issues. I mean, we've got permits that are outstanding waiting to get them back. Yeah.
I mean, give us one second.
Yeah. Sean, please.
I think we're good.
Good for what?
I mean, we're going forward. I don't know.
Right.
All right.
I think what we're going to do, Your Honors, is we're going to agree that there's noncompliance as of this moment. But what's going on is the things that are outstanding. The outside storage, electrical systems, hazards, the no permit for interior walls, all that stuff is in permitting right now. Well, my client's hired a general contractor to handle all those things. Some of them have already been repaired but are not signed off and stamped off on. Mm-hmm. So what Mr. Jackson was proposing, we just go ahead and make a finding of noncompliance and give a period of time in which to give the permit and get the repairs done, show proof of being completed, and then there would be no imposition.
How much time do we think all that's going to take?
I'd ask for 60 days.
Mr. McKelzer, the inspector agrees that it probably wouldn't be done in the next 30 days, so that leaves us jumping over March to April, and we're okay with that.
Perfect.
All right. Based upon the stipulation of counsel, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by April 5, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Does that take care of everything?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, gentlemen. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Case number 16 is in compliance. Case number 17, Lisa Phillips. Anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning.
Jade Howard for the respondent.
Jade?
Yes, Howard, H-O-W-A-R-D.
Okay, are you an attorney?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am, you are counsel for Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, we do. Ms. Phillips lives in California. Her father has been taking care of the property. He's since rented it out. She was unaware of that. She received notice of that January the 7th. And now she's in the process of being in compliance. She submitted her application for the business tax receipts yesterday, but amendments need to be made. And she's willing to do that immediately and have that issue resolved, and she can be in compliance within 30 days.
Very good. 30 days around here means February 8th. So okay. Is that doable or not?
Yes.
All right. I find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 8, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have contact information for a copy of the document?
Case number 18, Amanda L. Sims Ramirez.
Great, thank you. Thank you. Sorry. Okay, where are we at? Number 18?
Amanda L. Sims Ramirez. Come on up. Come on down.
Do I need to raise my hand? Or?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, if you're going to be testifying, sir, I'll just need both of you to state your names.
Amanda Ramirez, or do you want me to say it? Sims Ramirez?
You're fine.
Okay.
This gentleman?
Ruben Ramirez.
My husband.
Sorry, Ruben?
Ruben Ramirez.
Okay. Can you raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Ms. Ramirez, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I do.
All right, then I find the respondent in noncompliance. All right, give me just a moment, if you would. Let's ask the city how much time they think it should take you to come into compliance.
Ms. Vakelger, the address numbers are on. The rest of the violations remain. The inspector says he expects next cutoff that they can be in compliance by next cutoff.
All right, Ms. Ramirez, the city seems to think you ought to be able to take care of whatever these violations may be by February 8, 2017. What say you?
I actually just lost my job. The car was in a storage unit since we've owned it for the last 4 years. We just brought it back for the last couple of months. I'm going to get it back into a storage unit or sell it. I would just ask for 60 days. So I don't know if I can get a job tomorrow or if it's going to take me a week to get a job. I don't know, but 60 days should be suffice.
What is the outside storage that we're speaking of?
It was debris. We've since cleaned it all up, but we put in a flower bed. Yeah.
Okay, the junk vehicle is the one you're selling?
It's a 1972 Chevelle. It's in mint condition. It's not junk. No.
Got a tag on it?
No, I didn't have a tag. It didn't have it at the time.
Well, isn't that all he has to do is put a tag on it?
Yes. So I'll take care of that.
I was just asking him that, what the junk vehicle was, because I said we don't have a junk vehicle.
And you're taking care of the address now?
Yeah, they're on the door.
All right, they're requesting 60 days. Do you care?
Just that 60 becomes 90. I mean, it would take us to April.
Where are you guys going in March? Good grief. All right.
That'll be helping to take care of.
All right. What the heck? I'm being gracious. All right, you got to leave. Thank you. Or put a tag on it.
Just a car? Is that all we have to worry about? Is the car?
Yeah. Okay. All right, anyway, I'm sorry. Let me back up and do what I'm supposed to do. Having found it, did I already find it in noncompliance?
Yes.
All right, order the respondent to come into compliance by April 5, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Case number 19, Nicholas M. Ulsh.
What else do you have to do? Other than the tag, if there is anything else.
Okay. Is
that
correct? Yes. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Nicholas Michael Ulsh.
Raise your hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Ulsh, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I do, sir.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. All right, give me a moment to speak to the city. Mr. City Attorney, how much time do you think it should take for the respondent to be able to come into compliance?
The inspectors, John Stinson and Mrs. Stinson, reports that it should take next cutoff to come to compliance.
Next cutoff is February 8, 2017. What say Mr. Ulsh to that?
Okay, sir. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I'm trying to. I have my house up for sale, as is. Okay, I purchased the house like 4 years ago as is. And working with Mr. Stetson, trying to compare everything. Okay, just the money is going to take longer than that unless I sell the house as is. I have the papers here with the house, and the person's going to buy it and take care of it.
So you have a buyer for this house?
Yes.
And when is it supposed to close?
I told him I'd call him the day after I got it.
Okay. And is the buyer aware that there are code violations to be taken care of?
Yes, he's got to take care of them, yes, sir.
Okay. And you don't know when you're, as it stands, you don't know when you're closing.
Well, it's supposed to be 4/31/17. Okay.
So you're supposed to close before the end of the month.
That's what supposedly. But if not, I'm going to need longer to fix it. Fix what needs to be fixed because I'm waiting on my disability check to come in. I look maybe at the
so if it falls through, you needed more time in order to get the money to do the work.
Yes, sir. And I can call Mr. Stetson when everything gets done. Hopefully, the house gets sold as is. And if it don't, I'll call Mr. Stetson and tell him what I'm doing when it gets done. I have the electrical stuff at the house that I don't do it, okay, but I have somebody come do it. And the reason I didn't do it because I had the house sold as is.
All right. Respondents requesting additional time. What say the city? Is this house occupied right now?
Yes, sir.
I mean, do you live there?
Yes, sir. I got rid of the tenants who were there.
All right, so you're the one occupying it.
Yes, sir.
So it is owner occupied right now.
My mother's boyfriend's there with me, taking care of me.
Okay. All right, what's say the city?
Mr. Fekelji, the city's position is that we believe that he can come into compliance by next cutoff. We believe that at least at next cutoff, we can look at his circumstance on whether or not he was successful in the sale. Of course, if the sale closes, then we're in a whole different position. We'll be dealing with a new owner, and that's fine. We'll allot it on a reasonable time. But that's the position of the city.
All right. Have any of the repairs been made to these violations?
Yes, sir.
What repairs have been made?
Water's been turned back on. The window's been fixed. Smoke detector's back in. The roof's been repaired except for the addition supposedly that was built when I bought the house. Okay, when a hurricane hit, it damaged that. Okay, so that's got to be fixed.
Yeah.
And also, sir, I was talking.
You're not leasing or renting it?
No, sir. I talked to Mr. Stetson. He told me that in the back I have debris of trash. And I cleaned a lot of that up. I mean, it was bad. It was bad, bad. I spent time in the hospital over it. That's how bad I got hit out there. And if it needs to be, I'll get someone to come clean the rest of the stuff up for Mr. Stetson or for you, for the city of Daytona.
Okay. Mr. Stetson, when was the last time you were by this property?
Excuse me. Good morning. John Stetson, Code Inspector. I was last there on January 5th, I believe.
Okay. And you're able to tell me what, if any, repairs or work has been done toward these violations?
On that day, the non-conforming use, renting a section of the house, was corrected.
Do we still have outside storage?
Yes, sir.
What is it? Is it extensive or minor?
In between that, it's in the rear, so it's not real visible from the street, but there is enough that needs to be taken away.
Yeah, that's what I'm planning on moving, but that's what got damaged my shed. I'm using my tiki bar to put the stuff in. I have no other place to put it. I have no money.
Good. All right, anything else to your recollection that was done?
No, sir. You still have the electrical issues that are still there. That's gone. All of that is still there. All this unpermitted wiring that's just haphazardly around in this room that was being used. That is a photograph of some of the outside storage. There's a little bit less now, but there is still a significant amount. This is the unpermitted addition. This entire blue section here. As you can see out there, with the that's the air conditioned duct out there in the corner. blue tarp on the top, exposed insulation. There is a tarp on the right-hand side right now because of a broken window. It's since been replaced with plexiglass. That's your tarp for the roof. That's the back side. You can still see some more outside storage and junk and debris there. This is the area that was being used as a living area, no longer now.
You know, forgive me, but it's your opinion this could be brought into compliance by February 8th?
Well, be quite honest with you, the current owner doesn't really intend on making these repairs.
I understand that. Now, just looking at it from where I am, trying to be objective, looking at the quantum of work to be done, and everybody that shows up here is already late and done less than everything. I understand all that. But my point is, so as I'm looking at it right now from my perch up here, I'm wondering, can that work be done in 30 days? Can that work be done by February, or completed by February 8th?
A licensed contractor could.
All right.
Which is probably what you're going to need for the electrical issues, the roof issues, and the extension issues.
Okay, so if I give this guy time and he sells it, what happens then? The new owner gets dragged in here?
Yeah, well, since this is an active case, we'll just we can do it either way. We can just bring the new owner in and add them to the case. They've been given notice, but that's independent issue. That's his responsibility, but they are on notice of the violations. But we can have them added to the case once they take ownership. That's a really stepping in the shoes of owner because it's already an active case.
Mr. Olsch, my interest is in getting this work done. Whether you do it or the next guy does it doesn't matter to me. I just want it done. I'm looking at the quantum. I'm looking at this. I don't want to insult your domicile here. I'm looking at the structure, and it looks to me like it needs more than 30 days worth of work, to be honest with you.
And money.
Okay. And you've notified your owner of these violations?
Yes, I have. Okay. Actually, he verified the paperwork. Got the paper from Mr. Stetson. Because he was doing
All right, here's what I'm doing. I'm allowing. Have I found the respondent noncompliance?
Yes, sir.
I'm allowing the respondent until April 5, 2017 to come into compliance. I'm further ordering you to provide the city all the contact information they need for your buyer, and I'm also ordering you to advise the city as to when your closing takes place.
That's right.
So they'll know when title transfers. Because like I say, if your sale falls through, then you've got till April 5th of 2017 to bring this into compliance. I was inclined to give 60 days, but certainly March is unavailable right now. But in any event, so by April 5th, your sale falls through, you bring it into compliance, your sale goes through, we're expecting the new owner to bring this into compliance.
Right.
Very good?
Right.
All right, good luck to you.
That's understandable, Your Honor.
Case number 20, Nicholas C. Dennison and Katharina Dennison. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Kelton, the inspector for this case is John Stinson. He reports he's had no contact with the respondent. The property remains in non-compliance, and he's asked that you give tell next cutoff for them to come into compliance. I see woman advised Mrs. Stinson's waving his finger with an update, so I will attend to Mrs. Stinson to give you an update on
newsflash
status.
Failure to obtain required business tax receipt, failure to obtain required residential rental license.
Yes, good morning. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. Qualifications are on file. Just made contact with this property owner yesterday. I'm sorry, on the 6th. They actually have their son living in there, so there's not going to be a need for the business tax receipt. So it's actually family owned.
So the city's withdrawing this? I'm dismissing
yes.
it?
Yes, What's sir.
Happening?
We're going to withdraw. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I said, just in.
Very good. That was easy.
One more.
We have one still.
Now we go back to Vescovi Trust.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just need you all to step up to the microphone and state your names, and then I'll, if everyone's testifying.
Arthur Vescovi, trustee, Vescovi Trust.
Michelle Flatt.
Okay.
Sir, are you going to be testifying?
Gary Pennington.
Gary Pennington. Okay. Just one second. You raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Vescovi, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
No, I do not, sir.
Okay.
To my knowledge.
All right. Then if you'll step aside for just a moment, we'll let the city come up here and demonstrate to me how you're in noncompliance.
Mr. Vescovi, this property is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson, and I will tender Mr. Stinson for factual information in this case on the noncompliance.
All right, Mr. Stinson.
Good morning, John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. Qualifications are on file. This started as a neighborhood complaint from Neighborhood Watch Group. It was being utilized as a rooming house. That particular activity has ceased. That one particular. At one point, there was outside storage, parking, all of these other issues. My last inspection on the property was January 6th. All of this had been cleared out except for one car parked on unimproved surface. Knocked on the door, there was no contact. And that's where we are right now.
So the photographs I'm seeing are the outside storage you're talking about?
That's correct. And the parking violations.
The cars
as well.
Parked on the unimproved surfaces.
Correct.
All right.
The last picture is just going to show one car still parked there. Everything else is gone. There's still a small amount of outside storage up by the wooden green fence on the left-hand side. The only issue we really had with this property is ownership.
Ownership.
Mm-hmm. Because they were trying to explain to me about they're doing some sort of rent-to-own thing with the owner.
Okay.
But I will leave that to them.
And that's the car you're talking about being parked on the unimproved surface?
Yes, sir. Last car. Everything else has been taken care of.
Very good. So, are they still in non-compliance?
They currently are, because they still have those number of people in there, and they still need to determine the ownership to see if it's actually going to require the business tax receipt and the rental.
Very good. All right. Okay, what say the respondent?
Okay. First of all, on the parking on the grass, I don't allow it, and I don't have to really address it. She's the person in place on the property, and she takes care of that, and she's been very cooperative. One of your inspectors a few years back, there's a picture. Driveway used to go around. You get the survey?
Yeah.
And it went around. One of the inspectors came out, and I never want to go in front of you guys, so I always comply. He says, you can't have the driveway coming out on this side, only on that side. I get informed by him, I was out of town at the time. I said, well, comply with what he says. He's an inspector. Not this inspector, another inspector.
Mark.
So, was it Mark?
Mark.
Mark. Anyway, I had the survey. The contracted city people that were installing sidewalks for the city of Daytona Beach, which I knew very well. What was the name of the company?
Municipal Contractors.
Municipal Contractors. Installed that driveway after bringing the paperwork to the city. Do repairs on the driveway because it was broken and, you know, it was just a mess and I wanted it fixed. I don't want anybody to fall. So they took care of the whole thing, got it done, got the permit. Everything was done to code. Later on, they said we couldn't do it. The inspector, not your department.
Mark came in 2 months later and
go ahead.
Said that the driveway was not in compliance. You see the picture of where the car is, or to the left is where the driveway was removed by the order of Mark. I came over the street. It came all the way. It's two beautiful driveways. It was not a circle driveway.
Just get in front. But
he was claiming it was a circle driveway.
Yeah. He had you remove it. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes,
okay. And he contacted me and I said, comply with the inspector. So it was removed by the municipal contractors. The reason why I wanted the driveway corrected and fixed the way it was done, and commissioning the city to do so, the municipal contractors, they were doing all the work in the city, so I got a pretty good deal. I just wanted that done so we wouldn't have things like that happening. The reason why I think that might have happened, and I'm not going to say it, she didn't have to tell you that, probably parked it there because they were coming in one day, a couple of days, and moving some old furniture out, putting new furniture in. That's why you saw some of the furniture in the yard. Apologize for that.
I don't mean to interrupt, Mr. LeCouch, but it's nothing with parking is before you.
Right, well, it was brought up, so I'm just addressing it. I don't want them to get in more trouble, so I'm addressing what I can address because it was brought up. So I'm just addressing it. I'll let that go.
All right.
Let's go to the next problem. What was the next problem? The ownership?
Well, that was their suggestion. All right. What I'm seeing here is non-conforming use as a rooming house, which All right. means what? Two or more unrelated persons occupying the same location.
Correct.
All right. Your father lives there?
My father, my husband, and my son and my daughter. And my best friend has lived with me for 7 years, and she's with us.
Okay, you are a tenant?
No, I'm buying the house.
You're buying the house.
The homesteader.
And she's homesteaded. We complied with that. I can explain
okay,
that.
Back up. Let me try to get my arms around that.
You're homesteading. I can explain it, sir.
Okay.
Approximately three or four, well, you could... I'll do it this way so I don't make a mistake and tell you an untrue story. Charlie Puss was the governor of the state of Florida. I was having problems with trust. And, you know, as I stand here in front of you, I want to make sure you understand I only go by what the book says. And anybody that knows me in the city of Daytona Beach knows I go by the book. And that's been for over 35 years. I got a good reputation with the city of Daytona Beach, even working with your mayor today and other people. Police chiefs, the whole bit. I've got a good standing. I don't want that ever to go anywhere wrong. So, I asked in a letter to Charlie Chris if he'd have the Florida legislators address our trust, because apparently they don't read it the way it's read by some attorneys and myself. So they did so. Took about 2 months, and we got a letter back after some address mistakes and things of that nature. Just mistakes. And we complied with their request and issues. And it's been working pretty well. Are you homesteaded on a piece of property?
Yeah.
Okay. I have others, but I didn't want to bring a whole bunch of people in here to talk about. Anyway, we have to go through certain steps. I am a trustee, as was explained here. And the reason why I'm a trustee, because I'm a referee, such as you are, to make sure everyone stays in compliance with people like this gentleman here, the attorney, so on and so forth. And that's what I do. I was out of town when the occurrence happened during the hurricane and even after that, but I came immediately back to town after the hurricane. Did I not show up at the property to see if you guys are okay and make sure everything's under order?
Absolutely.
Because we have responsibilities to banks, insurance companies, and so on and so forth. And I work with the person at the property to be sure they're complying with all the issues. I didn't file the paperwork with Michelle approximately 2 years ago. She didn't understand it, but it's her God-given right if she wants to file homestead or not. Well, I kept telling her, do it. You're going to get a little reduction in the taxes. And being her father's a retired veteran, is he in New Jersey? When's he coming back?
Tomorrow.
Michelle has already filed for her homestead according to the rules that are required by us to do. And we've done that. And I want her to have a father because he stays with her. He had to go for surgery in New Jersey.
Yes.
And he's coming back tomorrow, so he'll be back on property. And maybe he'll go down and do it, still have time to do it, as you all know. That's exactly the way it is. And as I'm under oath, I'm telling you the truth. But if you feel that we need to get a license, because I've bought licenses when I had the security company here in Daytona Beach, and I kept people on properties that I bought, you know, to keep them so they have a place to live, clean, and so on and so forth. I go back probably, 20, 25 years with the security company. It was the largest here in Daytona Beach. At one time, I had more patrol cars in the city of Daytona Beach had. Worked with Paul Crow, Ken Small, and a few other standby police chiefs until the new chief that was there now came in, and then I did close the business because I had a serious problem in my family when my son passed away, and I didn't want to operate the business anymore. I turned it over to other individuals. Worked with about every hotel on the beach and almost every car dealership in Daytona Beach. Our communication system was set up with the chief of police in the radio room, and we didn't communicate with them through the radio because of certain guidelines, but when it was an emergency, we did communicate. That's about it. I mean, if you would
need outside storage is gone.
That's correct.
You're telling me there is no occupancy as a rooming house?
No.
No. Michelle won't put up with
that. There's no need for a business tax receipt because we do not have a landlord-tenant relationship. Is that right?
Yes.
And you're telling me there's no need for a residential rental license because you're telling me there's no landlord-tenant relationship.
Right.
Okay.
I'm a trustee. She will have to admit to you that if something isn't correct, avoiding, let me get it, Stetson, is it?
Yes.
Avoiding Mr. Stetson.
Stetson.
I have to make sure we're in compliance. That's what I do.
Right, what's
because
city?
We don't need any problems.
Mr. McKelter, now having it all explained, it sounds like sounds like everything's in compliance now, having heard the whole story.
Well, first off, let's slow down here because I'm still got a lot of smoke in my head right now. So the outside storage is taken care of. Whether there's a business tax receipt or a residential license is yet to be determined. But more importantly, you're telling me that you, this lady, is the owner of the house?
Well, the bank and the trust, and I'm the one that's responsible for everything.
In other words, you're the trustee.
I do financing under certain trust guidelines.
Okay, the owner of the property.
I'm trustee.
The owner of the property.
I'm the trustee.
And you're the trustee.
Right. Maybe this will help you. Could we do this in other cities? Probably. I don't know if Daytona Beach is even familiar with this law. And this has already been filed. Oh, I'm sorry. This has already been filed, and it does have to go. Did you not show that to someone in this?
I was out
of state at the time. I got in. It was the meetings on. They showed him the proper documentation by my signature to that, giving her beneficial interest.
Plan. Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
And I hope to get it done before the March period for the father to be on there. They can do that now. We already talked to them. The county.
And I've already filed my homestead paperwork.
She already filed that. She was told a couple of years ago that she could do this, but, you know, I can't break a person's arm if they don't want to do it and save money.
I just wanted to find out more about it 2 years ago.
Yeah, but we got her the proper information. She's aware now. She's probably going to be better than I am at it. God forbid something happens to you, I might make her the boss.
Thank you. Does this say David William Spearin?
Yes, that's correct.
You're David. We do a lot of different things. I do a lot of work in the St. Augustine area only because I see a boom in town and I go where the action is. Always was. I was here in Daytona Beach for quite a few years because there's a lot of action here. I always did good things in Daytona Beach.
Well, it looks like to me that he established a land trust. He made named the beneficiaries, and they're living on the in the residence on, as beneficiaries. So at least she is, and whoever her relatives are, appears. I mean, my best reading, but as a quick read, which I hadn't looked at the other provisions, of the statute, but it sounds like maybe so.
All right, what am I doing with this? Withdrawing it or dismissing it?
Withdraw.
All right, you're done.
I have a question, sir. Here in the picture, back in summer of 02, when we had this put in, city said we could do it. It was done. The municipal contractors did it. Okay. 2 months later, Mark shows up, and he says that the driveways are too close together. It's a circle driveway. He said he was going to charge us $250 a day fine if I didn't remove it. I notified this man here what was taking place and had any conflict or fines that municipal contractors came back in with a loader. We had to cut it. They had to break it. We had to haul it out of there. Or we won't get charged $250 a day fine. We didn't care it to this point. And I regret that we didn't care to this point right now, that we was in front of you or whoever was here back in 01.
Wanted to come to you, folks.
We want that driveway put back.
So, ask the building department if you can have the driveway put back.
No, we want the city to replace it at their cost. Because they cost us the time, the aggravation, and the expense of removing it, probably under false pretenses.
Well, before you get too amped up,
yeah,
it sounds to me like what you need to do is probably retain an attorney to ask the attorney if you have
any. That costs money.
Well, okay.
Listen to what you're saying.
I'm sitting here sucking the oxygen.
Yeah.
I understand the procedure, and I told him.
Right. I mean, my point is, yeah, if you feel as though you've got a right that's been violated, then.
Do I need to see the gentleman here?
I mean, these guys ain't going to pay you, so.
No, I know that.
Okay.
The reason was I could have stepped forward and came in and had a contact with you.
You might, maybe you should have.
Well, yeah, I've done it in the past with other jobs and mm-hmm. things I've done. I always got good. So, but I didn't know what was going on with municipal contractors and what the whole thing was. Just shortly after the time they installed it, they finished their job here, and I couldn't get a hold of them because they were out of state contractors.
Okay.
They were working for the city of Daytona Beach, so I wanted to be sure I had all my ducks in line.
That's anyway, my response to that is go consult an attorney to see if you got something to gripe about. What, if any?
I think the best thing we can do is
claim it might have, and what if any remedy you have?
Talk to them and see what we can come up with so we get it done directly with no hard feelings. So I mean, that's what I like to do.
When you agree, though, that would be a beautiful driveway if that wasn't removed.
Just make it. It
could be.
The benefit, the property, the city. But that's ugly. That is really ugly.
Gary has.
I'm heartbroken over it.
He did all the work. So you got
to. I'm heartbroken over it. Could I come back to see you at a later date to discuss this?
He's just an attorney. Yeah.
Well, he's the attorney for the city.
Yeah, you got to.
Do I need to bring another attorney in to see you with it?
You guys might be better served by heading out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Okay. See y'all later.
Yeah, Mr. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, do we have any other business to be brought before the special magistrate? Not hearing anything? We're adjourned.